the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, Pamela was talking there about her strategies for staying on top while there are other pressures below the surface. It's something all of us have to deal with in life, but what about others' intense, detail-oriented, stressful jobs? How do they cope under pressure? Our reporter, Shifra McQueen, has been finding out.
When I'm climbing up, generally I just shove in my AirPods. I'd normally be listening to like Jimmy Buckley. Up I go then, and I'd be bopping away as I'm on the way up.
Tower crane driver Kate Fahey's commute to work is a little bit different to the rest of us.
So tower cranes vary in heights from 40 metres all the way up to 100 metres. About 80 metres is the highest I've been. As people like to say, I'm very high up in my job. When I first started on the first crane, there was buildings surrounding the tower as you climbed. So you were only above the building by maybe two stories or something like that. Whereas then when I went to the next job, there was no built up buildings around it. So you were all open. And the higher you go, if it's more open, it is a little bit more testing on the stomach. The cab is kind of, when you go in, it's mainly glass floor. You can see down to the ground underneath you. Then the main controls are your two joysticks, up and down, and then left, right, and out and in. Being a crane operator, like, to put it in the simplest of forms, is moving materials on site, like bales of blocks to the block layers or mortar for them, laying precast slabs into position. When it is windy on the crane, like as if you're on a ferry or a boat, like it's pure seasickness or motion sickness. I could be coming down out of the crane holding the ladder afraid I'm going to blow away. But I tell everyone I get better signal. That's not true, but I tell everyone I get better signal up there. So that's the upside, I suppose. The banksman is someone who basically tells you as a crane operator where to go. You'll have a lot of blind lifts. There is a sense of like a trust or a bond, and like you have to get along with them for the simple reason you're talking to them and them only all day. Otherwise you'll end up biting the heads of each other, lifting things over people's heads. There's men and underneath you with kids and wives and families at home. Like, if I'm not watching exactly what I'm doing, if I don't do what the banksman tells me, it could result in death. Like, I create a lot of the stress for myself. Like, I think, oh God, if I do something wrong, they're going to think it's because I'm a woman. Build all this pressure up inside myself. And then once, like, we'll say a concrete pour might be done or the glass might all be fitted, I'm like, why did I do that to myself? I was perfectly capable of doing it in the first place.
But the views can make the pressure worth it.
It feels like you're out of the world looking down sometimes. It's mad to see just the Dublin city skyline and, like, the rhythm of the city. I love people watching, even certain, like, times of the day. So-and-so will be going for their lunch, or this person will be out for their run. If they don't show up on their time, you're like, you're late. You see life just pass you by in a blink of an eye. It's actually nice to be able to just sit there, take it all in and watch everyone around you.
Close your eyes and imagine the feeling that you get in your tummy when you are anticipating something that you're really worried about. Now, forget about that. Close your eyes and imagine the feeling that you get in your gut just before something really exciting is about to happen. The feelings are identical. What is different is how you have framed those feelings. So the power of language, the power of perception is very strong.
Neuroscientist Sabina Brennan.
We tend to talk about stress in the negative, and that's unfortunate because the human brain thrives on challenge. With poorly managed chronic stress, in the longer term, if that acute stress response isn't switched off, it can have ongoing negative effects that actually change both the structure and the function of your brain. You go from being sort of a rational thinking individual to being a reflexive, unthinking reactor. You then actually even start seeing threat where there is none.
Why are some people more attracted to highly stressful careers?
Some people possibly could be described as high stress seekers. And what research shows, people who, you know, are drawn to jobs like being a firefighter, or they tend to show lower levels of anxiety and stress hormone levels in high pressure situations. They're able to harness the biological fight or flight response. That response is associated with improved focus and with improved cognition in the moment.
My dad was a firefighter. I remember countless times you'd be there in the station and the bells would go, and next thing you hear, running firefighters sliding down the poles, putting on the fire kit, jumping in the fire engine, and the engine screaming out with lights and sirens out of the station. All of a sudden, it'd be just quiet. You're standing there and you're going, oh, okay, what do I do now? Because everybody's just gone. As an 8 or 10 year old, that was just so impressive.
Peter O'Toole is now following in his father's footsteps as sub-officer with Limerick Fire and Rescue Service.
Once the bells go, it is that absolute rational mode. Pressure is probably not the correct word, but the heart rate just quickens. It is that focus that time seems to stretch out. A 15-minute car journey you wouldn't think about, but 15 minutes in a fire engine on blue lights going to an incident can seem like an eternity. So the first thing always to do is just to breathe. The physiological responses of our body are always going to happen. No matter how cool we seem or how much in control we seem at the instant, you're still feeling the stress of it. Take a second, notice your breath, and get on with it. So for us, the biggest one would probably be river rescues. It really is so time critical. If you've ever seen organized chaos, that's what it is. We've got half the crew dressed in dry suits. We've all raced through the city. In about 3.5 minutes, we can have our boat on the water. One particular night, we got a call. I'd say it was about 2 or 3 a.m. And we got down and I was standing on the bridge watching a young woman float downstream. The young lady had just submerged just as the guys got to her. Just managed to reach down enough to catch her hands. That rescue, it was literally fingertips. Comes down to just decisions made in seconds. So sometimes my wife will slag me and says, I can't make a decision. This morning it was, where do you want to go for breakfast? I don't mind, where do you want to go? I could be useless like that. But firefighters at an incident are very decisive. The old cliche is, we're running towards the incident and everybody else is running away from it. And that does inspire confidence within you. Yeah, we've dealt with this before. We can do this again. The stress is not what attracts you. You hope to be able to make a difference for somebody's life. I think that's what it comes down to. It's a challenge.
I've had bags of smithereens that they've gone to dust at the end of the bag.
Susie Conway is a specialist in china and sculpture restoration.
I've loads of sentimental pieces. An Elvis impersonator, and he came in there last week with his 1950s collector's item of Elvis, the face badly smashed, more than shook up.
I'm all shook up.
If it's a small job, I have a turnaround of about 6 weeks, and then larger smashed pieces, we'll say, that can take anything up to 3 months. With all this AI and everything that's coming in, there are certain things in life that need the human touch. I'll always start normally with, you know, bigger parts, easier to put together, but then you have the smaller parts and the chips, and don't forget the flea bites, little tiny, skinny, almost transparent pieces. I love that part, piecing them together. It is a bit like a jigsaw, and sometimes you get stuck on a piece or you can't find a piece. Coloured tones really help me because I know, oh, look, that must have been down the bottom because it's a darker green. Or you kind of read through little hints to help you put it together. Having a steady hand is vital. The more delicate pieces, like bleak, is like an eggshell. So you cannot be heavy-handed. You're actually kind of getting into the head, if you like, of the person who originally would have made this piece. At the moment, I'm doing a top of a Chinese vase. There's landscape, you know, of the little Chinese houses and the blossoms. I'm actually mimicking the branches using the same really light feathered paintbrush to make it look like no damage has been done. There are times you'd crack up yourself, definitely. And you're wondering, God, you know, I could maybe get an easier job than this. And then when you are handing back that piece that you've worked on maybe several months, it really re-energizes you again and you're all enthusiastic. And that passion, that's what overrides everything.
But what does Susie do to make sure she doesn't crumble under pressure?
Tracy, a man, she was saying that in between paintings, she dances. I could resonate with that, hitting the refresh button. I go out to the garden and I might pull a few weeds. I play golf and do something totally different, like whacking a ball down the green. I'm pretending the China's at the other side. Not.
She from Old Queen reporting there.